You're all awake now. Okay, could you start by having a little turn around you, but you don't need to talk to them, don't worry. Could you start by having a look at them and then thinking, what do I think they would look like if they were two? Okay. Now, I imagine looking around you think, well, some of them would be taller than others. Some of them might be shorter than you would expect. But if we then played it in fast forward, you would find them kind of speeding up at different paces. And as far as I can tell, there are two sorts of children when it comes to growth. The first are like this, or that. And they're kind of always in proportion all the way through. They're kind of just mini themselves and then eventually bigger versions. And then you get other kids which seem to shoot up and then out and up and out, and eventually they get to the right size. And I was one of these. I've roughly ended up proportional, I hope. I'm not sure whether to be comfortable with that laughter or not, but anyway. But spiritually, I think I've been the same as well, that I've changed dramatically over the years. There's times when my understanding of God has been really skewed to one way, and then there's been times when I've had a really different perception of God. And so I wonder, what is your perception of him? What words would you use to describe him? What words would you not use? Because there are all sorts of things that can affect how we look at God, not just the Bible, but all sorts of other things as well. It might be we look at our own dad and we think, well, our spiritual father must be similar. It might be that we look at our schooling, our upbringing, our personality, all sorts of things can skew our perception of God. Nietzsche said, mankind makes God in their own image. When he looked around, he thought, well, people seem to have a God that is far too much like themselves. And for me too, I've had to be aware, am I allowing God to be who he is? Am I really reading the Bible clearly? Or am I importing bits of myself into it rather than me becoming like him? So Psalm 19 is incredibly helpful in this. And if you've got a Bible, if you could turn to it. There are three themes about God that come out through it. No, why is that there? Oh, because I've done this wrong. Apologies. Right. There we go. So first of the greatness of God, if you look at verses 1 to 6... we have that nature tells us about God. It is enormous nature. And many of us started off by looking at it and thinking, well, there must be somebody who made this. There must be a creator. But if that's where we stopped, we might well think that, well, a God who's that big must be distant, mustn't be that interested in us. And so there's always a balance there when we think about the greatness of God as creator, to remember that such a massive, big, powerful God is still interested in us. In this section of the psalm, the psalmist uses a very odd word for God. He uses the word El. Now, it's odd because the Bible typically describes God as a faithful provider or a Lord, someone who's with us. But the word here was a general word, the word God that was used by all different religions, all different people. And so perhaps the psalmist is getting us to think, well, from nature, you can tell some things about God, but you can't yet tell enough to really understand him. Verses 7 to 11, the psalmist then changes and uses the word Yahweh, no longer an unknown God, but the God of the Bible, the God that we might recognize. And it talks about God's law, God's rules. And I don't know about you, but when I look at rules, when I hear that word, there's part of me that kind of rebels a little bit. Maybe some of you are the same as me, that when you're going on a journey, you're thinking, well, the speed limit's 30, but 33 is probably okay. You find yourself kind of slightly pushing it a little bit. And I know for me, I have to remember that God's law is different, that God's law is there for my benefit. It says, I should desire it more than anything else. At times when I remember this particularly well, it strikes me that there is a freedom in it. There is a freedom in living God's way. And Psalm 119 puts it really well in that it says, when I am obeying God's law day by day, it feels like I am walking in a wide place, that it gives me this kind of freedom and breadth. And I know for myself that when I am living God's way, that I can go to sleep, and I feel fine about that, and I feel at peace with myself. And yet when I'm not, I feel kind of a bit hemmed in and feel lacking peace. I need to remember that he is in authority over me. But I think more than that, I remember that he is in authority over me and he's a known God. One of the verses in this passage that's probably the most jarring for us is where it talks about the fear of the Lord. And we often, I think, struggle with the idea of fear. We don't imagine God is someone that we should fear. And yet in the Bible, even angels provoke fear. When angel Gabriel appears to Mary, one of his first words to her is, "Don't be afraid." And in the presence of God, how much more fear might we feel? But I think it's important to hold on. This is not the unknown God in verses 1 to 6, not the general term. But this is God whose law revives us, who has given his word to us as a gift, and who desires to know us. So far, we've seen two bits about God. We've seen that he's creator, he's big. We've seen that he's the lawgiver, who gives us laws that will revive our hearts. But why would this creator, this lawgiver, forgive us? And therefore, we come to our final section in verses 12 to 14. For without this final element, we could find ourselves thinking we can earn God's favor. Last year, I remember sitting with a lady who was dying. She had about a week to go. And she'd been a Christian about 60 years. But she said to me, "I really don't know where I'm going when I die. I'm not sure." And I said, "Well, I don't really understand. What do you mean?" She said, "Well, I did things in my 20s and 30s that I know I've prayed about and I've said sorry for, but I don't know that God forgives me for them." And so we took some time kind of helping her to accept the forgiveness that God has. And often we can end up with an imbalanced perception of God where we still think he holds things against us, where we still think he won't forgive us. But the last part of this chapter is wonderful because the psalmist says, "God is my rock and my redeemer." Redeemer here is an interesting word. It was the word used for your closest male relative who bailed you out of trouble. So if I got into trouble, that would be my brother who would be coming along to help me out. And what's fascinating is that even in the Psalms, hundreds of years before Jesus, God is already described as that closest relative, that person who bails you out, that person who rescues you. And so we have three different ways that all help us together to get an understanding of who God is. But I did think it would be to forget this by Wednesday and to not remember much of what I'd said. So hopefully this will be useful. Now, have any of you done this before where you've plotted your faith? You ever had a go? It is so helpful. I would encourage you. So faith and years. And so you're plotting really, how has your faith been over time? This is me. So to give you some highlights and lowlights, if you like. Experiencing God really powerfully when I was very young, about 16, which is the big dip. A friend of mine died overnight, and I remember thinking, I'm not sure about this personal God, this God who cares for me. Kind of came out of that, and then kind of you've got a fairly bumpy sort of line there. Times when I invested a lot in my faith and grew, times when life seemed to just chug along and I wasn't really experiencing God so much. And so what I've done then is to put on there the different words I would have used for God at these different stages. What is the main way I would have seen him? So growing up, very much Father. In the lowest point, Creator and Lord. And I don't know if that seems odd to you, but at that stage, that was what I could hold on to, that he was the God who made the universe. But he didn't feel very close to me at that moment. And then we've come back to kind of God as a creator, as a friend, as a savior, as a king, as a mentor. And so my line continues. And I would encourage you this week, perhaps, to draw your own line. How have you and God been over the years? How are you relating to him? And perhaps, how would he want to grow your perception of him? Let's just take a moment and be quiet, and I'll pray. And we'll see if there's something that God particularly wants to highlight to you from this morning. Lord God, you knew us before we knew you. Do you know each person in this room, whether they know you a lot or not very much? You know how we've understood you well and how we still need to develop our understanding of you. And I pray now, Jesus, as we spend a moment in quiet, that you would speak into our hearts what you would want to say to us this morning of who you are. Father, thank you that you are creator, that you are lawgiver, that you give us the wisdom we need for life, that you long to bless us and revive our souls. And thank you that you are our closest relative, our redeemer, our savior, our friend. Would you grow us in how we know you?